this session introduces Adam Foreman, a student here, sophomore year. And Brandon Sulaco, who's a junior, I guess. I thought I'd kind of narrow it down. I'll give you a kind of brief history of it. It's really like, I guess this whole thing is going to last about, an hour or so. And to explain the music of these drums in that time, it's massive. So I thought I'd give you just a brief overview of it. Then I'll go back and explain some of the things I just did, and we'll bring up Alexis and Catherine, and we'll play a little bit more. The music that this is religious drumming for a music that is the music of Santeria, which is really African religion that migrated through the slave trade to Cuba and became kind of, they call it syncretization, it's syncretized with Christianity. When slaves were rounded up and brought to the New World, many of them landed in Cuba, and Cuba treated them differently than America did during periods. It went on and off. Some periods they were much more harsh, some periods they weren't. But the priests in Cuba realized the kind of importance of letting the Africans, who were all from very diverse tribes and religious cultures and different languages and everything, they realized the importance of trying to kind of get a communal lifestyle for them. And the priests really saw this communal lifestyle as if they gave them a little bit of freedom, eventually, of course, they would see that Catholicism was the way to go. So they kind of gave them little bits of freedom. And one thing they used to do is, because the slaves were in cities probably too, but they were also spread out all over the island, manning sugar plantations and whatnot, and bringing, the harvest to the ports and to the cities and different transportation modes. What they ended up doing was the priests would go around and gather up groups of slaves and bring them to worship. But they kind of like introduce the religion to them and leave them alone. And because of language barriers, what the congregants did is they decided they would use the religion, use Catholicism, and maintain their own African identities, which in some cases is called Ifa. That's kind of the larger version, which turned into Santeria. So Santeria is really this mix. What they ended up doing was they used the patron saints of Catholicism, but they kept their own deities. Santeria is actually a monotheistic religion, although we like to talk about it as polytheism. It's really not. It really, in some ways, being Jewish, maybe I'm outside the normal, Catholicism, so maybe if I say something and it's not completely accurate, I'll apologize, and certainly don't mean any disrespect. But Santeria is there's really one main deity who is so huge and so large that really the people on earth don't communicate with, because the name is Oluwadumare, which literally means, if I'm without my notes, means energy principle that spins off into the universe endlessly, which is a Yoruban term. And what he did is he went to, this is Santeria in a little glass, but what he did is he met with one king, a great king called Obatala, which we'll do songs from in a minute. And Obatala is called, it's the king of white, actually. And there's a story about migration in the Santeria religion, or Ifa religion, that travels from, we don't really know, but we assume like Ethiopia or something, and went across to present-day Nigeria, Benin, the different areas around there. And he endowed Obatala, who was called the king of the Orishas. Orisha is a deity, the saints, if you will, as it would be in Catholicism. And he gave Obatala permission to turn, it gets a little confusing, but to turn people into saints, or people who had extra special powers. He kind of ordained them to be able to access this world, because all the Orichas, all the saints, live in two worlds. They live in this world and they live in another world. So the first three songs that we did are part of what I guess you could consider is the Mass. And the first part of a Santeria Mass is where three drummers go to a shrine. while other people are, you know, milling about, you can watch, it's not very secretive, but they play music, and they each house has a different amount of oriches. They actually do what they call salutes to. So these were the first three salutes, and in any house, these were all the same. And the first one was Elegua, and the second was Ogun, and the third was Ochosi. And they'd play, and each salute you do for maybe a minute, some just 30 seconds, 40 seconds. And the idea is that you're almost like stirring the pot, because the idea of the ceremony is to literally, like they'll have a day. They'll have a day for Ochosi. So Ochosi, we're expecting that Ochosi, what they call mounting, they have people there who are ordained as Ochosi saints, and they'll be there, and the idea is to get Ochosi so agitated that he must come down to this world and join in the bembe or the toke, which is the religious ceremony. So the first one we did was called Elegua. And Elegua, I don't know if Catholicism, I know Judaism doesn't have saints, so here we go into that, but I don't think Catholicism has. Elegua is like a trickster. He's not really, you know, from what I know of Catholic saints, you know, there aren't many like him. He's somebody, there's a quote in there, it's he's somebody who, for example, if you were in a bar, and he's the guy who is going to poke two men at a bar while they're drinking to kind of get into a fight. And then the minute they go outside to fight, he's going to throw very cold water on them. So he's a little bit of a trickster, but he's the most important deity, because he's the only one who can really go back and forth between the two worlds and get the other deities to come here. So every single ceremony has to start with Elegua, and they do different versions of the same thing. But this is a very standard. As a matter of fact, two or three months ago, there was a real Nigerian bata player, and the music's kind of different, but a Nigerian bata player, and the first thing he did, he walked in, and we sat down to play, and he played almost the exact same thing, which was strange considering the hundreds of years that probably separated the people in Cuba for the last 200 whatever years and real traditional Nigerian bata playing, because Fidel Castro put a stop on being able to go back and forth to Nigeria. And there's a whole can of worms that people in Cuba believe about that Fidel Castro has been selected as having great ache, great spirit, great character, and he is the only one. He doesn't want anybody else supposedly to go back and forth and gain access to these great powers. So he stopped, and he stopped even the ambassador. There's no more relationships between Nigeria and Cuba. Anyway, that's a tale. I don't know if that's true or not. So yeah. So the second deity we did was Ogun. And Ogun is the deity of war and metal. So anytime, for example, if you're working on the rail, if you're a railroad worker, one of your saints would be Ogun. He's also very angry. He has a lot of anger. He was passed over as being a great king because of his great anger. He was a king for a very short period of time, but because he really wasn't fair on all sides, he just had such a tremendous anger, he got stripped of his kingship. And the third one was Ochosi, who's actually Ogun's brother. And there's blood lineage supposedly there, and Ochosi is the hunter. And what I thought we'd do is, I thought that's a very general, broad view, and certainly over the first three deities, which are called the guerreros, the warriors, because they're the three main warriors of the Santeria pantheon. But what I thought we'd do, I think one of the most interesting aspects of it is, I don't really know, I mean, when I think of Western classical music, I need like a drink of water, I'm fine. But when I think of that, and I think of, for example, the music of Bach. Is that okay? Thanks. I talk too much. I just want to get to excuse me. When I think of Catholicism or Christianity, I you know, you think of, for example, great works, the Requiems, the music of Bach, who, like, I think every single work he ever wrote, he said was a glory to God. And but this music, it's very interesting because the drums are actually a literal part of the Mass. You cannot separate it. And if you kind of imagine the way the religion kind of changed over the last 200, 250 years with slavery, you know, the reality that they really couldn't be open about this. They really couldn't communicate like this. And even speaking to Africans who are in the religion, they talk about, for example, when my daughter sits at the kitchen table and she says, you know, she's with her friend and she goes, you know, the first thing I say is you're not allowed to, don't tell secrets, you know, it's bad. But from friends of mine who are in the religion, certainly, they express it a different way. They say, my love for, if I'm telling Adam or Brandon a secret, my love for them is so great, I want to share it with them, which is just kind of like the other side of the coin. They're thinking about, why do we want all of you to know about this? You know, you can enjoy the music, you can enjoy the culture, but the religious part of it I want to speak to him about because of my great love of the religion and my great love for him. So it's a little different view of it. But the interesting thing is that they replace the words that they're saying with the drums. And the drummer who made these drums actually is one of the deities. He's called Anya or Aganyu. He has many different names because the language changed. So I'll go through a couple of them and I'll show you what's going on and see if you could hear the different aspects of it. The most interesting thing is that if you go to a toke or religious ceremony, there are hundreds of rhythms and I've been to quite a few now, and it's really amazing that everybody knows them. I was actually in Havana and I went to a bar to hear, it was a jazz club, and they started playing one for the river deity named Yemaya. And it was the first time I heard it in public. I was actually shocked because it was literally a bar. People were dancing, and three drummers were up there playing the toke, the rhythms for Yemaya. And I asked somebody next to me, and everybody in the club, it was amazing, must have been 75 or 100 people there, knew exactly what was going on, knew all the different parts, knew when the next sections were coming, and even were like, kind of goading the players on when they were doing it. And there wasn't a word spoken about it. It was really kind of interesting. So this is this thing. Let's take this from, I'll give the cue into the... and we'll play quiet. So the first part is, they're saying, Ago elegua abu keng keng. And I'll get in a second, I have the...